We heard some Welsh duets for harp and piano by the Welsh harpist John Thomas, a famous soloist in the late 19th century, and a combination you don't see too often these days, harp and piano. And luckily, there are other unusual combinations to talk about today. I have Elizabeth Start, the director of the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, on the line with me as promised. And we have some landscape to cover today. And Betsy, I really appreciate you taking the time on this Thursday to chat with me here on Classical WMUK.
Well, it's great to be here and nice to hear that good Welsh music. That actually reminds me of a concert I played at Ravinia years ago with Brendan Turfel as a soloist, and we were playing all kinds of Welsh stuff in his honor.
Is that right?
And that's my heritage too. So
that's a great story. And such a great baritone too. It would be hard to play for trying to listen.
Yeah, I got it. But anyway, that's we're here to talk about Connecting Chords Music Festival.
That's right. And the last time we were on the air together, we were previewing something called Migratory Music at the Kalamazoo Nature Center. And perhaps we could start with how the event was. That event well attended and a success for the two collaborating organizations?
Yeah, I think, I was just absolutely thrilled. It was a perfect day. As a matter of fact, as soon as we were getting going, we had a rain date scheduled for the next week, and I was thinking, geez, let's just do it again next week, because this is so cool. But, we had probably 250, around there, people over the 2 hours who came in and wandered to the different locations, and, of course, it was a free event. Nature Center was letting folks in free. This was at the Kalamazoo Nature Center, and we had the idea that music kind of moves like the birds. It travels from place to place, and so the migratory music idea was having musicians from our area performing in different locations in the Arboretum, so there was always music going on, and you could migrate from one group to another, too. So we had Bahar Ensemble with Arabic music, Norse Code, which is Karin and David Code, playing Scandinavian music, and Samuel Nalangira and Carolyn Keeble, more of a African general drumming and African music contingent, with also Sid Ellis II was kind of migrating around and also working with them a little bit. And we also had Hazel Tree, which is Celtic and folk music. So that was those were our musicians, and people hung out but socially distanced, masked, and just had a really wonderful time. It couldn't have been a better day.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Migratory music at the Kalamazoo Nature Center, and I'll keep my fingers crossed that more outdoor wandering with music is possible, and Michigan Festival of Sacred Music might be partnered once again in an event like that. We have also some things coming up in October to talk about, and perhaps we should start with a woman named Beth Bradfish. She is from Chicago, our president of the Chicago Composers Consortium, and I'm wondering if you can describe what she does.
Okay, well, I'm going to make a minor correction there, because that would be an older bio. I'm sorry if that was still out there. I mean, I know her through the Chicago Composers Consortium. She was at one time president, but she is so involved with her sound sculptures, which are really she has a fair amount of demand for the sort of thing that she does that doesn't really lend itself so much to a concert situation. So her involvement with the Composers Consortium, which is mostly about, concert performance, she did leave us happily. I mean, we were all happy. It wasn't anything angry or anything going on, but just that's how her career was moving. And she actually lives in Southwest Michigan near Union Pier. So she has she's had the two residences for a little while, and now she's totally moved into Michigan. So she is a Southwest Michigan person. But what she does is she creates sculptures which mingle just beautiful aesthetics with electronics, which create music, which interact with the observer, participant in viewing, touching the sculpture. And I said a very dangerous word there, touching. we've already talked about how to have attendees at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum, which is where this is installed, where they'll be able to interact with the screens. We've talked about popsicle sticks or chopsticks, so, you know, something that they can take. They're disposable. You can take them home. We don't need to worry about people touching with their fingers things, and then somebody else coming along and doing the same thing. So anyway, her music or her sound sculptures are always very interactive, very kind of soothing in how they take what you give them and create, you know, feedback, musical feedback. So that has, she's pretty much done with the installation. I believe she's been working on it for a while. Of course, as far as when the public can experience this live will depend on when the museum feels it can open. But we are confident that it will be there when the museum does open. And in the meantime, we had had plans to have a concert where musicians interacted with the sound sculpture. And that has turned into the idea of a virtual concert now. So hour-long program that that we'll do down the road in later October. But next week, I get to go in there because she had decided, unbeknownst to me, that this was going to involve cello, which was going to be me. So as that materialized, it was like, okay, cool. I'm going to bring my instruments in next week and see how it interacts with the sculpture. You know, can I bow the screen? What does the bow do to different things? We're going to take some footage of that so that, you know, very informal, you know, iPhone type stuff, but then hoping to do a behind the scenes, you know, how does this work and how is the composition going to progress event with her.
Could I ask some really basic questions about, I'm trying to picture the sound sculptures. One of the first things I thought of when you said sound sculpture was just a sculpture that the wind will operate, like an Aeolian harp or something. But clearly it's much more intricate and advanced than that if she's using electronics. So first basic question is, how large do they tend to be?
Well, the first thing I experienced of hers, she put in the lobby at one of our Composers Consortium concerts, and it was basically a kind of cool, looked like a big futon frame, like a three-person futon frame with each segment angled differently. And if you sat or lay upon this, you would, it was making sound as it just sat there, but kind of low level, and because there were speakers attached underneath the wood. And as you sat on it, moved around on it, you triggered different sorts of musical reactions, and it was actually recordings of acoustic music of hers that was being played. So every once in a while, there would be like this horn rip that would just go right through you because you could feel it too, because you're sitting on the speaker. So a very, very cool experience to feel the vibrations as well as hear the music, and not, you know, not super loud or anything like that, just giving you the sensory experience of music more than just through your ears. And part of her philosophy with this is to give people who maybe are hearing impaired the ability to experience this music in different ways. And I also, at another one of our events last fall, she had a chair which with sort of a rocking chair, and you also had screens you were looking through that changed based on data that was being input by what you were doing in the chair. So not just music, but visuals, too. This is more large screens, which I have not actually seen yet. So, it will be sort of a pathway you go through. And I know the screens will be there, and there will be some sound. But then we talked about like writing your name on the screen, and, you know, that's going to produce a sound, by what you're touching when you do that.
Betsy and I are talking about the art of Beth Bradfish, a sound installation, which will be installed at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum. The Kalamazoo Valley Museum is working to open to the public, and we haven't yet received word exactly what date that will be. Expecting it to be in October next month, so you can keep an eye on the Connecting Chords Music Festival website, where these events are all posted. And Beth Bradfish, her work sounds like it's really evolving. So it'll be interesting to see what she's bringing. And you will be somehow, your cello will be interacting at least as a trial run for this sound sculpture exhibit.
We'll be, I'll be in there next week playing with it, which I look forward to. And we will, regardless of when the museum actually opens, we will be creating this virtual event, which will be sort of an interview with her, and looking at the footage of us working with the cello and the sound sculpture. And then we also will be doing a virtual concert involving percussion and cello and the sound sculpture. So those things are definitely happening, and we're looking at October for those. But yes, do please keep in touch with our website, because we just keep having cool ideas. I mean, actually, the behind-the-scenes thing just came to me, I believe, yesterday. Because I thought, well, I'm going in there, why not film it? Right. Why not let people see what this is going to be? So very excited about it.
One really cool idea that you shared with me way back in June, as we were still kind of grappling with all this, was a new piece of music that could become a travel piece for people who can just drive and listen.
Yeah, well, I have to give a lot of credit to our board president, Bo Bothwell, who really helped us pivot in June. I mean, I know that I personally, as a performer and as a presenter and as a composer, was just seeing everything. Nope, that's canceled. That's canceled now. That's canceled. And, wondering when can we do what? And Bo made us stop talking about, well, maybe we can do something in November. Maybe we can do a concert, blah, blah, blah. And he said, here's some ideas that I think we can do safely. And, well, he didn't say it that dryly, but basically he just kind of pivoted us into these new ideas. And one of them was, it started as the idea of having a new piece created that would be a soundtrack for driving to Lake Michigan to see a sunset. And we calculated that would be about 41 minutes. Approached Rohan Krishnamurthy, who is, of course, a Kalamazoo native, now living in San Francisco area, and breathing a lot of smoke these days. Mm. And Rohan is creating a piece that is 41 minutes long. And then I started thinking, well, we don't want to create this, caravan of people who are going to like run into each other or something driving out to the lake. So, and of course we're going to have it over a window of time where you can download this and experience it. And so I thought, well, you can drive wherever you want. You can go see the fall colors. You can sit on your patio. And then I got involved in a virtual run, which was done as a fundraiser for the Elgin Symphony that I play in. And I thought, why can't we make this a virtual run? Well, now it's getting this many tentacles. And so We're now looking at it more as a, you know, choose your own journey event. We give you the music.
Right.
You drive, bike, run, walk, sit still, do it. And we'll encourage people to give us pictures of where they went, maybe selfies, and tell us how many miles they covered, and we'll collect the miles and just kind of see how it builds up. So we're really kind of excited about that idea of just to choose your own journey.
Rohan Krishnamurthy is a world-class percussionist, Indian classical percussionist on Murdangam. Would you expect him to be writing in that style again?
Well, as a matter of fact, he told me how many layers he is creating. Of course, Rohan does a lot of collaboration with other musicians, other cultures, jazz, mm-hmm. classical. So he's got a very wide palette of sounds and interests. And he's playing a number of different instruments on this and is right now in the mixing process because we did give him a deadline that's coming up. but yeah, so it will be, definitely including Indian percussion and of course he is a percussionist, so it will be similar exotic percussion.
Wow. Who knows what influences might show up in this piece?
Yeah, and it's definitely the idea of emotion that is a moving piece. So I think it'll keep you going on your run or your walk or bike or whatever.
Tell our listeners how we will access it when it becomes available.
Well, you know, that's something I am leaving up to the Eric Schmidt, who is our marketing guy and web guru and all that, but it will definitely be something you'll be able to get to through our website, which is either going to Michigan Festival of Sacred Music website, which is mfsm.us, or you can also find us on the Connecting Chords Music Festival. That's what we call the actual festival events, which is ccmusicfest.com. And as we have this available, we're gonna make it possible for you to download. One of the things also we're trying to do this fall is make our events free. So we're not going to be charging for this, but we would love it if people give us some donations. But we're basically trying to embrace the community, give folks what we can as shared music experiences, and employ as we can area musicians for our events. So that's what we're up to.
Let's recap. We've talked about the Migratory Music Program, which was a success out at the Nature Center. The Kalamazoo Valley Museum will be the home for sound sculptures by Beth Bradfish, which will be very interactive, and hoping we can have personal interactions with those sculptures in October. The Rohan Krishnamurthy brand new piece of music will be released soon so that people can interact with that and share their experience. And we still have some more things to tick off of the list from the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music here. Where should we go next?
Well, I would like to just also add one thing. If you go to our website, you can see an interview with Rohan and Raginder. They just released the audio from the concert they did here last fall. So we did a Zoom event where they talked about it and played some clips of that. So that just another little Rohan tidbit there. I was just out yesterday looking, see, this is how in the moment we are. We had an idea of that it would be neat to do something at the Dark Sky Park, which is newly designated in Cass County, which is called Dr. Lawless Park. It's got nature trails, it's got biking trails and things like that. But this new designation means that they have certain dark sky nights where You go out and there's someone with a telescope and there's a dark area where you can watch the heavens. And we just thought it would be very cool to provide some music for that. So we are in planning right now for trying to do something, definitely doing something. This will be October 16th with a sort of reserve date of the 17th. That's a Friday and Saturday. I hope I'm getting that right. That's their next Dark Sky Nights.
I was really excited to hear the news that there was a place in Michigan, especially free of light pollution, where you can view the heavens. And I just haven't found the right excuse to go. And, well, if you add music, I'll be there.
Okay, well, that's what we're hoping. And you know, it's funny, I was talking with Scott Wyman, who is my connection there with the Park District, and he... You know, I was saying, well, okay, so we would plan for the Friday night and have the Saturday night as the rain date. And he looked up at the sky and he said, you know, it doesn't have to be raining. If it's cloudy on Friday, we're not going to have people here either. So, you know, so that's this extra layer of
always
of what will move us to the next night. But I've looked already at the forecast for October 16, 17, and looking pretty warm, pretty clear. So I'm optimistic.
Good.
On that.
Well, finally, I mean, we've saved one of the best for last here because we have another multimedia visual acoustic music collaboration that I know you're real excited about as well. And that brings in a lot of local voices, local musicians.
Yeah, this actually was an idea that came up pretty early for us, but again, collaborating with another great, larger museum in town, the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, and we looked at, we started talking about being involved musically with their Unveiling American Genius exhibit, which will be going up sometime in October, we hope, and the plan was to have local or area musicians respond musically to the artwork and create 1 to 2 minute pieces, which you can download and listen to on your iPhone as you go through the exhibit. So, of course, with earbuds, so it's not, you know, creating a lot of conflicting sounds in the room, but the idea is that 1 to 2 minutes is a reasonable amount of time to stand in front of a work of art, and and the musical responses are, you know, of course, intended to enhance. It's one person's, one artist's response and elaboration on what they see, and of course, we've also looked into the history and the artist's statements as to why they created that particular work of art, and the musicians are also responding with their artist statement as well as their music. So we reached out to 8 people. Well, I reached out to 7, and without my knowledge, the board decided they were going to have me be one of them too. So
you are qualified, Elizabeth. <I'm> overqualified.
Yeah, well, of course, this is about spreading the wealth here, but I'm soon to complete mine. Everyone has the deadline of the 28th, so I have a few more days here. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking about it. I'll be using some delicate electric cello, I believe.
Does that mean you had a sneak peek at the images?
Yes. That was kind of the only way we could, you know, let people pick what they were going to do. So, yeah, we do have a little private website that we just gave the artists, the musicians access to with little thumbnail things. You don't get a ton of detail, but kind of enough to, on most of them, to get you a good idea of what the image is. So there was, because each of the 8 people had to pick 2 works and then be able to respond to them. So they need to see them. And it's a very cool exhibit. It's organized in a very interesting way. And I think it's going to be, you know, great when it comes out. So the musicians that we've engaged are Monica Washington Padula, Rufus Ferguson, Helen Yee, Jordan Hamilton, Ashley Daneman, Lori Jarkins, and Eldon Kelly, and then myself. So,
right, that's Lori Jarski, I think, and
Jarski. I'm sorry. What did I say?
I'm not sure. It started okay. right. It started yeah. right and ended a little strange.
Okay. Oh, that's because my handwriting's so bad. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, that's because she picked a work by Jenkins. So I was looking at Jenkins and going, that's not right. But okay. Lori Jarski, yes.
So,
who is, of course, one of our owners of the Broughton Music Store over on KL, one of our local music stores, which is kind of one of her presences in the community, but also a wonderful cellist and composer.
This is all new music, all newly recorded, and something you can hear, you can download to your phone and listen on headphones as you visit the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts when they open Unveiling American Genius, a new exhibit. And you're right. We know they can really put together an incredible exhibit that will just be one of those high points of the year. So this adds a beautiful additional layer to that.
Yeah. And we will be, the music will be available for we talked about the month of October, thinking the exhibit would already be up by October. If it moves a little bit later, then our window will be a little bit different. But I believe the exhibit is going to be up for 2 years. But we're just going to be a part of it, you know, duration-wise. So all the more reason to get on our e-list and keep checking our website to know what new ideas we're going to be doing.
That's right.
And when they're going to happen. Yeah.
Elizabeth, tell me what images you were drawn to. What is the subject matter? What made you think this will help me create some music in response?
Me personally?
Yeah.
They are three-dimensional items, and honestly, I was amazed because I waited until the other seven people had picked their things, and it's like, you're kidding. Nobody picked these. so one, and I hope I'm not giving away too much of the exhibit's stuff here, but one is a salt bowl, which is a beautiful textural object with it involves two bowls and twigs and salt, and it's just image-wise, it's gorgeous. I can't imagine in person. It's going to be, you know, of course, 3D. It's going to be very, very cool. And that's by Maria Scott. And then I was also drawn to another sculpture, another 3D thing by Deborah Butterfield. And it's a sculpture of a horse called Hoku. And it's just very graceful and complex. I mean, they're both very complex. They involve the sculpting of other elements into, you know, think actually the horse looks like wood, and her process involves putting together wood but then taking it all apart, casting all the pieces in bronze, I believe, and then putting that back together. So, but then making it look again like wood. So it looks very, very elemental, having come from these other substances, natural substances, and very, very much I saw that in the bowl too, with the salt and the twigs and the beautifully fired bowls. So that's what I think. It's the textures and the obvious natural connections and just the beauty and grace. Both of those objects showed that to me. So.
You, Elizabeth Start, are one of the composers, and the other seven are Ashley Daneman, Rufus Ferguson, Jordan Hamilton, Lori Jarski, Eldon Kelly, Monica Washington Padula, and Helen Yee. And I am acquainted with the music that they have created personally, and they all have such different influences and vision and are really their own voice. So this will be quite fascinating to see their take on these pieces.
Yeah, it's some of the pieces have been coming in the last couple of weeks here, and yeah, everything is, it's all really cool. You know, I listen to it and go, wow, nice, and totally different, but very appropriate to the works, and yeah, this is going to be very cool. Thanks.
It's called the Resonance Music Project. The Kalamazoo Institute of Art is the venue. We still can't give you the final word on when it will be available to the public, but you can keep track by following Connecting Chords Music Festival on Facebook or visiting the website, ccmusicfestival.com, or is it CC Music Fest, something like that.
CCMusicFest.com.
Yeah. And MFSM.us, that's the Michigan Festival of Sacred. If you're an old schooler like me, that's what I tend to type into my web browser when I'm going for it. So I think that will take us to the end of our conversation. We've had covered quite a few things and activities and very creative ways to keep accessing art and music during the pandemic. So I expect we'll get in touch again and have another round of what's coming up for the Connecting Chords Festival. Did you have any final thoughts or things we did leave out today?
Well, one thing we have left out that we're needing to leave out right now is we so wanted to do a sound immersion meditation, but it just... doing that outdoors when there's so much about the resonance and feeling the vibrations coming at you from different directions, we just felt it wasn't going to work really well outdoors. And then we talked about doing it virtual, but that starts almost looking a little odd with somebody moving things around your camera and microphone. So we are putting that off until we can do it safely in closed space in some way. And since that is most effective if people are distanced from each other so Judy and Judy Huxman and Julie Chase could walk around amongst the people with their gongs and bowls and such, that we're hoping that will be something that we can bring in before, say, a traditional concert. So because we kind of need to be socially distanced a bit anyway, but we're going to need to be able to gather more people in one space than we can right now. So, but that's coming. It will happen.
And we'll talk about it. Thanks for joining me here on Classical WMUK. If you missed part of the interview and are curious about more of these events, this will be posted to WMUK's website later today. Thanks very much, Betsy.
Oh, thank you.
Goodbye for now.
Talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.